This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production. Russell Talk in the D with Martez starts right now. This is a Sunday night, and this is Russell Talking to D with myself, Martez. I'm coming to you live from home tonight as we give you Russell Talking to D. And this is a special show today. We're going to be talking to NWA Powers Television Champion Zeke Dice. He's expected to give us a call at 7 o'clock, and we'll be able to interview him. So that's on tap for tonight. We're definitely excited about that. So. He should be calling in at 7 o'clock tonight. And myself and the Southwest Texan, I am thankful that the Southwest Texan was nice enough to join me on this program tonight, and I'll bring him on relatively shortly. But as I always do, I want to pause and thank my Lord and Savior, because I know without him, there is no me. And I couldn't do this show without his strength. So I want to pause and say thank you to the Lord. All right, now we got that out the way. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world of wrestling, for that matter, and I'm going to do my best not to bring up the virus and things of that nature. But I want to go back to Friday night. Before I bring the Southwest Texan on, I want to go back to Friday night. Triple H celebrates his 25th anniversary, or celebrate 25 years of being with the WWE. Now, I myself, I think Triple H is in the top 20 of all time. I think he's earned that spot because of his longevity in the business, because of his championship collections, because what he brought to the wrestling industry. I think Triple H belongs in that category as at least one of the top 20. Now, I don't expect everybody to agree with what I'm saying, and I don't even know if the Southwest Texan is going to agree with what I'm saying, but I think Triple H, I'm not saying he's a top 10, but he's definitely in the top 20. Based on my opinion, you got to look at his track record. 14-time WWE champion or world champion, however you want to look at it. Multiple-time Intercontinental champion, multiple-time tag team champion. I believe he won the, I could be wrong, but pretty sure he won the European title at least once, but I'm not totally sure on that. I should have did my homework before the show, but that's whatever. I mean, it's whatever. But anyway, I believe Triple H should be in that discussion. I would never put him above Austin, never put him above Hogan, never put him above The Rock, people like that. But he's definitely in that conversation. I think for somebody to be with a company for that long is remarkable. Now, you can say that he did this, that, and the third to stay with the company. You can say that he's married to the daughters. I mean, he's married to the boss's daughter. You can say that. You can even say he stabbed people in the back to get to the top. You can even say that, but we don't know this to be sure. We don't know this to be a fact. These are just speculations. Sometimes speculations are real, and sometimes speculations aren't real. But I wanted to start the show off by at least celebrating Triple H for being with this company so long and being on a top. We all want to advance when we're in a company. We all want to get promotions and things of that nature. I believe we all want to do that. And I got to give nothing but love to Triple H for staying with this company for so long, and he probably could have transferred to different promotions throughout these 25 years, but he's stuck in state. You know, him and The Undertaker, it reminds me of Sting. You know, Sting stayed with WCW until WCW was officially closed. You know, they remind me of that. Those are two wrestlers that never really bounced around like that that I can think of. And then another thing I want to say, I love Vince McMahon. I think Vince McMahon was a pivotal part in saving wrestling. And same case with him. You can say what you want about him. He may be an evil man. He may be a conniving man. He may be a slick man. He may do dirty business. That may be true. I'm not here to cast aspersions. I'm not here to investigate Vince McMahon. But I believe without Vince McMahon, the wrestling business wouldn't be where it is today. It may still be alive, but I don't think it'll be as important without him. You know, the reason in AEW or TNA has been developed is because McMahon. You know, people see what he's doing and they want to do what he's doing. And all these other promotions, even indie promotions, you know, I believe people look at Vince McMahon and they strive to be as good as him or close to it. So, as I prepare to close my little opening monologue, I got to give love for Triple H. Triple H is in my top 20, and I got to celebrate Vince McMahon because Vince McMahon was a major part in saving wrestling, without a doubt. And, you know, I hear people on Facebook making fun of Vince McMahon, basically saying that he shouldn't be on television. Maybe that's true, maybe that's not true, but you got to give a man some love. I mean, you got to give him some respect. I don't want to say love, but you got to give him some respect. All right, this is Russell talking to Diva Martez. We're expected to talk to television champion of NWA, Zeke Dice, at 7 p.m. I'm going to bring in the co-host of the day, the Southwest Texan. What's going on, brother? Happy Sunday evening to you.
Happy Sunday evening, Tez. How's it going to all the listeners of the Wrestle Talk and the D? This is Southwest Texan from the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, brought to you from Open Talk, The Flash, and 313. What's going on, everybody?
Everybody's pretty good. We got people listening on Facebook and Instagram. And by the way, if you all want to call in and comment before the interview, the number is 646-668-8672. You can call in and if you want to comment or anything. Zicky is supposed to be calling in at 7 p.m. I know that's what we're here for today, but I figured we can get into some conversations before he comes on.
Most definitely. And I was listening, talking about Triple H, and I definitely agree with you on that. Him being on the top 20, I wouldn't put him up there with the Hogans or the Rocks. I mean, the Rock, you know, the Rock and them, but they all come from a different club, but they all love the business. But Triple H, man, longevity-wise, you can say he can top the Rock and the Hogans when it comes to the – to being a part of the WWE brand, a part of the WWE machine. You know, Triple H has done it all. Like you said, he's a 14-time world heavyweight champion. He's a 5-time intercontinental champion, 2-time European champion, tag team champion, King of the Ring winner, 2-time Royal Rumble winner. I mean, that's Hall of Fame. Oh, we forgot Hall of Famer.
Is that
Hall of Famer? So I was going to say Hall of Fame worthy, but he's already there.
Absolutely. Hey, man, you knocked that out the park, man. You know, you I forgot about the multiple time Royal Rumble winning performance by him, and I forgot about the King of the Ring. But I remember at least when I was young, you know, many of us always thought Triple H was going to be a mid card his whole career cuz that's where they were pushing him at, in the mid-card. He was always in the mid-card scene fighting Goldust, fighting Rocky Maivia at the time. So they always had him in
Mark Merrill. Yeah, I remember those days. I always thought the same thing. When I knew he was a main eventer, when he main evented WrestleMania 2000, the Fatal 4-Way for the World Wrestling Federation Championship, when it was The Rock, Mick Foley, Big Show, and Triple H with every McMahon in each of their corner. That's when I knew he was main event status.
Yep. Absolutely. And you know what? I almost look at him as an underdog. And John Moxley kind of reminds me of him, you know, because John Moxley, even though John Moxley, he's been pushed as a main competitor, which he is, he still has that mid-card vibe to him. I might be wrong, but he still has that mid-card feel to him. But the fact that John Moxley and Triple H, they can actually overcome that is remarkable, you know. Because Triple H, he still reminds me of a mid-card that really did well as a face. Not a face, but as a main eventer.
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. John Moxley, it depends on which John Moxley you're talking about. If you're talking about CCW John Moxley, I don't know about that. If you're talking about WWE John Moxley, I totally agree with that because John Moxley in WWE was totally watered down.
Right.
You know, he was world champion. He won it once. He's a Grand Slam champion in WWE. Money, you know what I'm saying? He's done everything in WWE but win Money in the Bank and Royal Rumble.
Right.
But, you know, you're absolutely right. And John Moxley and Triple H do come, you know what I'm saying? They kind of do click and got similar paths. But, I mean, John Moxley, like you said, he kind of sits as a mid-carder, but he's a main eventer.
Yep. It's true. You know what? I know you follow John Moxley pretty heavy before his WWE career. And that's all I know of him is his WWE career as Dean Ambrose. And, he was the WWE champion, you know, but it always seemed like they didn't value him that much as a main player. And we know what he's doing right now in AEW. He's their champion.
Yeah, he's the man right now. He's John Moxley's actually. I want John Moxley to have a nice run with this belt, man. He deserves it. You know what I'm saying? Because he's actually brought a lot of eyes. I mean, they're not the millions of views that him or Jericho are used to, like when they were in WWE. But I mean, they're the ones bringing all the eyes to AEW. Him and Jericho. But John Moxley's heavy. You guys, if you guys want to talk about John Moxley or anybody that we're talking about, or even our guest for tonight, area code 646-668-8672. Come talk with come rap with me and Martez real quick before our guest gets on the line.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what he said. Feel free to call in at any point. You know how we do on Wrestle Talk with D. Say how you feel. You know, you can speak from your heart, speak from your mind. You don't have to agree with everything we say. But we starting off the show by talking about Triple H. We're talking about Triple H is a top 20 wrestler of all time. You know, I shed a little bit of light on Vince McMahon because people are up in arms that he came out. People didn't like that segment when Vince McMahon came out, but I liked it. You know, and I think Vince McMahon saved pro wrestling. And you know, and
I agree with that. I agree with the Vince McMahon saving wrestling because if you look at it, you know, he bought it from his father, which was struggling with the wrestling game back in the 70s going into the 80s and when Vince was an announcer, and then Vince, you know, ended up buying it out from his dad, and you know, he kind of struggled himself in the golden days of the golden era when you had Doink the Clowns and colorful characters like that. But then, you know, he ended up getting some competition, and then, you know, he ended up kicking ass, and the rest is history.
Yeah, and I remember those days watching the likes of Doink the Clown. Remember Bob Holly when he was the race car driver.
Spark plug Bob Holly.
Exactly. I remember Double J Jeff Jarrett. You know when he was coming out in his
Yankum before he was Kane. Isaac Yankum.
Yep.
Yeah.
Even when Nash and Razor Ramon was there, that was sort of a gimmicky era. But if it wasn't for them going over to WCW, we might still be looking at the likes of Booth the Clown and things of that nature. Because when Nash
I believe that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, when Nash and Hall went over to WCW to team up with Hogan, and you know the rest. When that happened, Vince McMahon, for once in his tenure, wasn't at the top, you know?
Right.
And he either could have folded, he could have closed up shop, he could have conceded, he could have surrendered the title, but he didn't. You know, he resurrected WWE, WWF, whatever you want to call it, you know, into a powerhouse. You know what I
mean? Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was disagreeing with you.
Yeah. He resurrected them into a powerhouse, and although I feel like WCW, they brought attitude to the era, but WWE will always get the credit for being the attitude era because they took it to a whole nother level. NWO brought attitude. Goldberg even brought attitude to the professional wrestling business and WCW, but like you say, Stone Cold, Rock, the late 90s Undertaker, D-Generation X, Shawn Michaels now, they really brought attitude to that era, and it's all attributed to Mr. McMahon. Even that character, Mr. McMahon, to get into the trenches with his wrestlers. You know, he could have stayed in the back, but he got into the trenches. He got into the storyline, you know, because he's all about, I mean, because he didn't want his company to fold, and I just think that's remarkable.
Yeah, and that's the truth, man, because if you look at it, like you said, if Kevin Nash and Scott Hall didn't go to WCW, we'd either be in the eras of the Doink and Clowns or even extinction. You know what I'm saying? We could have never probably even gotten the Attitude Era. We probably would have never got the Ruthless Aggression Era. We probably wouldn't have got the eras that we got now.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's why a lot of us continue to hold on to that era because it was such a prestige era. It was such a classic era, you know, and sometimes we wish it can come back, you know, and I don't know why today's wrestling isn't that entertaining as it was in the late 90s. Don't get me wrong. I still love it with a passion, but that's what bothers me about today's wrestling. I'm not telling you, I'm not asking them to be X rated or for them to even be rated R, but I would like to see a little bit edge, you know, if you will, with today's product. It's just too conservative for me.
Yeah, most definitely. I agree with that 100% because if you look at it, the Right to Censor won from the 2000s when the Right to Censors actually came out as a group and whatnot. They actually won the war.
Yep, you're right.
Right to Censor won the war.
Wow. I never thought about that, man. Even though that was a gimmick for a storyline, but that actually they actually won the war.
They did. They got what they wanted. Basically, you know, they everything censored. We really don't get unstored call promos. You know, everything's promoed. Everything's gimmicked. Everything's, you know, like the Hell in a Cell. What I didn't like with that, I'm gonna bring something up. Like with the Hell in a Cell. You know, they turned it red. They turned the Hell in a Cell red because it's supposedly symbolizes fire and hell. You know, how are people supposed to see inside the cage that's red? That makes no sense. You know, there's some things that don't make sense in WWE, but, you know, you got to give Vince his credit. Like, you know, another thing, too, like you said earlier, is when people – you know, didn't like when Vince McMahon came out to Triple H's segment on Friday. I thought it was a good thing because Vince McMahon is a big part of that 25 years of Triple H. If you look at it, mainly when they actually storyline and their paths cross when in 99 when he married Stephanie in that whole storyline. Mm-hmm. And then they ended up getting into it, Armageddon 2000, and that's when the McMahon Helmsley era was born.
Yep. And it says a lot about Vince trusting Triple H. Number one, to get him to keys to the company. Because after Austin kind of started to drift away, after The Rock started to move on to Hollywood, Undertaker stepped away for about 9 months, they really handed over the keys to Triple H. Everybody can't handle the keys, okay? Everybody can't handle the pressure of of being a face or being a top dog in a company, and Triple H did it. You know, I look at some of the things in my life. In some instances, I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle being the top dog. And in some instances, I did handle being the top dog, if I can get my words together. But I always, because I'm a known stutterer. You know what I mean? But I gotta give Triple H the respect, you know, for even though he probably buried a lot of people in 2003 before John Cena started burying people, but Triple H was a dog, man. He was a dog, and I believe he wanted that opportunity, and he took it to a whole nother level when he became the face of that company.
Yeah, most definitely on that one, because if you look at it, he did step on a lot of people's toes, and he did bury a lot of people. Even before those days, even when he was a part of the clique, when him, Michaels, Nash, Ramon, and 1-2-3 Kid were together, you know, they were all buried. They were all actually burying people. That's why the Rikishi and them were actually clicked up, because they didn't like what Triple H and them were doing. So, yeah, Triple H has been doing it for years. But, I mean, if you look at it, man, to get to the top of somewhere, you got to step on some toes and take some names down, you know, and bury them, you know, to get to where you want to go.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he did in that business.
Yep. And I think I was listening to the Stone Cold podcast. He was interviewing Big Show. And in the Big Show, like, one of the biggest regrets of his career was that he was always green. He was always a green wrestler. Even when he was still a veteran, he was a green wrestler. He always put people over when he wasn't supposed to put people over, you know, because he wanted to be the nice guy. He wanted to be cool with everybody. And that was he looked back and said that was the wrong move. You can't always put people over, you know, especially when you have an opportunity to advance in your life, you know. And that doesn't necessarily mean you stabbing them in the back. It's just, hey, you know, I want to get to the next level. You're in front of me. I need to get you out of my way.
That's definitely, man, because, I mean, if you look at it, Big Show really did that a lot. You know, he had multiple times to win championships. He had, don't get me wrong, he's not undecorated. He's decorated. He's got notches under his belt. But if you look at it, a lot of times he put people over at, like, one of the main ways I see is when, back when he was feuding with Cody Rhodes for that Intercontinental title, and, you know, he put Cody Rhodes over just because, you know, he was an up-and-comer. And another thing is when WrestleMania 21, when he went against that sumo wrestler, you know, what kind of stuff is that for the biggest, largest athlete in the world to be in a big old diaper and try to fight another man in a diaper?
Yep. Wow, man, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Even when he, Floyd Mayweather beat him like he stole something, man. You know,
oh, yeah.
I couldn't believe they let Floyd Mayweather beat him. At that time, Big Show, he was a big time heel. You know, he was getting a lot of boos from the fans, which is good as a heel. But at the same time, Floyd Mayweather beating him as I look back on it, I think that was the wrong move. You know, it almost makes you wonder, was he in trouble backstage? You know, Floyd Mayweather abused him in that WrestleMania. But to go back to what you said, sometimes you gotta just you gotta step on some toes. You gotta offend people when you're trying to get to the top. All right, this is Wrestle Talk in the D with Martez. We have Southwest Texan Dede Cruz, host of the Wrestling Rated R Wrestling podcast. He's joining me tonight as a co-host on this show. We're expected to talk to Zeke Dice at 7 p.m. Eastern time. So whenever his phone number pops up on the screen, we're going to bring him onto the show. But in the meantime, we're going to continue to talk wrestling. It's 5 minutes from now. He should be calling in, you know. And I don't know about you, man. I don't know how you feel. I know you interviewed a lot of I try not to put anybody above anybody, you know, just because they celebrities, whatever. But I know you interviewed quote unquote celebrity wrestlers, man. I don't know how you felt about it leading up to it, but For me, you never know how they're going to act when they get on the phone. You never know how they're going to how good the interview is going to go, you know, because they a lot of them are busy. A lot of them are busy. You don't know if they're going to be receptive to your questions. So, how did you prepare for your interviews with quote unquote big stars?
Oh man,
I'll put you on the spot, man. I'm sorry.
No. What I do, man, I try to get questions that are, you know what I'm saying, that comes to, you know, where I don't actually get into the actual wrestling career. I try to get to more in their older part of their career, and then sometimes get a little push and try to push a little bit of the way to get into their career now. That way I don't like trying to push it to where they're like, oh, well, I don't want to answer this question. So I try to get it to where they turn into that direction their own selves.
Exactly. I agree with you. And number one thing, I think you have to get them to feel comfortable with you. They have to feel comfortable with you. They have to trust you. You know, it's one thing for them to say yes, but it's another thing for them to be comfortable once they're actually on air with you. You know, when I interviewed Devon Dudley last year, you know, I was kind of stressful because I never interviewed a top dog like that. And he was a kind of a serious feller on the radio. He was kind of a serious guy. But later on in the interview, he kind of warmed up and we started laughing and this and that. But I'm not going to lie. When I did that interview, I was pretty nervous.
Oh, yeah, I can believe that, man. Devon Dudley's a legend in the business, a legend in the industry, both in mainstream and indie. You know, back when they first started in ECW, when ECW wasn't a big deal, and, you know, when they came into WWF, a lot of people didn't know who they were until they made their mark in WWF, WWE. And, yeah, I feel the same way, man. When I interviewed Jimmy Jacobs, you know, Jimmy Jacobs, the writer for back then in WWE, and then he's a writer for Impact now. So, yeah, I interviewed Jimmy Jacobs. I was actually kind of nervous on that one myself. And because that was one of my, I want to say my, like my third interview when I first started doing YouTube.
Yeah.
And,
wow.
Yeah, that was a big deal for me. Yeah, Jimmy Jacobs was that, but he's actually a laid back guy.
Yeah. And you know, at the end of the day, these guys are just human, man. These guys are girls. They human just like us. We just see them on TV. So, I think a lot of times they just want to be treated like regular people, because sometimes they get tired of that special treatment. Even though
most definitely. That's most definitely. I agree with that, man. Because you know, one day, you know, me and you, we're gonna be doing big podcasts, and you know, people are gonna do that for us. We're gonna be like, man, just treat us like people. You know what I'm saying? That's what's gonna happen one day. We're going to laugh at that. But, I know I see a lot of these wrestlers. Like, when I head to Horseland, like, before all this pandemic stuff, man, when I used to go to Horseland, and I seen a lot of these big wrestlers. Like, I seen your head, your guest from last week, Rhino. And, man, he's like, I offered him a beer. He's like, you know, just treat me like a cool person. Treat me like a regular person. I'm like, cool.
Wow.
You know? Yeah.
Wow. That's A. Yeah. That's real, man. That's real. And it, like you said, that's all they want sometimes is us to treat them like regular people. This is on Wrestle Talk in the D. We're going to take a quick 2-minute break, and then hopefully after the break we'll have Mr. Dice. Hopefully he'll be tapped into the show by then. All right, this is Wrestle Talk in the D on a Sunday night right here on Open Talk Radio, 313 The Flash, and blogtalkradio.com. Southwest, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. We had some technical difficulties. I got booted out. This is Wrestle Talking to D with Martez, and I have the Southwest Texan, the host of the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. He's kind enough to be a co-host with me tonight right here on this platform. But we're going to be bringing on to the show right now. He's the television champion of the NWA. Before we get into him, bring him on, let me give him a proper intro, okay? I understand that no one has to accept your invitation. It could be an invitation to a birthday party. It could be an invitation to a graduation. It could be an invitation to a wedding. I'm always thankful when somebody accepts your invitation. Tonight we're going to be bringing onto the show one of the best wrestlers in the world right now, one of the most charismatic wrestlers in the world right now. He's the television champion of NWA Power. So without further ado, let's bring on Mr. Dickie Dice wants to wrestle talk with you.
Outlandish, baby. Thank you for having me. What an intro right there. He's setting the mood right. It's making Dickie Dice feel good right off the bat.
Oh, for sure. We try to put you over on this show.
All right.
My name is Martez. You're here with the Southwest Texan. He's going to be the co-host with me tonight. So he's going to be asking you some questions as well, okay?
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for having me. Looking forward to it. Not too bad. You know, doing the best I can to stay sane and stay on top of the world. Like you said, I am, in fact, one of the best wrestlers in the world today. And with my perfect undefeated reign of television champion, a perfect record of 0-0, I think we're hitting, let's see, they were almost at day 60. Almost coming up on 60 days of television champion.
Oh, you winning. You getting ready to break some records.
You damn right. You bet your bottom dollar.
Now we promise not to keep you too long. Before we get into your you capturing the television title, you know, I want to know, how did you get involved in the wrestling business? How did this all start for you? Where was the beginning point with you and the fascination with wrestling? How did this all start?
Oh, man. Well, long story short, I grew up in a wrestling household. My older brother and dad got me into professional wrestling. Professional wrestling got me into freestyle and Greco-Roman wrestling around age 5. So I started wrestling and went all the way through my sophomore year until my father had passed away. And then from there, I found music. So I started a band and found punk rock and hardcore and took a break from wrestling. And my band, Heart to Heart, was on the road, and I was acting like a jerk off on stage on purpose. And the tour manager, John James Ryan, is like, "Hey, I got to talk to you. He's like, I think you should become a professional wrestler. I know you love wrestling. I think you can take over the business." So I said, "All right." I texted Seth Rollins about 5 years ago, and I said, "Hey, I want you to train me." And he said, "Ha, ha, ha, ha. Are you serious?" And I said, "Absolutely." He said, "I'll see you May 1st. So 5 years ago, coming up on May 1st, I moved to Moline, Illinois, and I trained in the third class of the Black and Brave Wrestling Academy under Seth Rollins, Merrick Brave, and Crotch, and I've been making waves ever since. This August will be 5 years since Dickie Dice has been around.
Wow. That's huge, man. That's huge. Now, how long did it take you to actually feel comfortable in the wrestling business? Was it a long time, or did it happen relatively quickly for you?
You know, I'm always still working on that. You know, even at NWA, I'm still trying to get comfortable with everything. And you know, you're always constantly learning, and I'm always evolving. And you know, that takes time. And I get more and more comfortable each match and each show that I'm at.
Okay.
We're talking to NWA television champion Dickie Dice. He's on Wrestle Talking to D tonight. And I'm going to turn the questions over to you, Southwest.
All right, Dickie, you've been wrestling in NWA for a minute now. I mean, there's a whole buffet in the wrestling business. You got NXT, you got AEW, you got WWE. You know, what made you choose NWA over everything?
Well, I didn't really have much of a choice when you're grinding. And it's not, you know, I'm happy to be at NWA, but I just got to say, I'm a free agent currently. So And yes. And a lot of people, you know, don't understand that. So you never know where I'll pop up or what the future holds, you know. I was grateful enough to find my way into NWA, and that was through Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. I take off my fanny pack to them. But like I said, you never know. You never know what the future holds. I'm looking to take over professional wrestling as a whole, and I don't want to be grounded by any means or boundaries. So, yeah, I mean, the rest is up in the air.
Nice. You've been wrestling since 2015. How long before that did you was you into the wrestling game, and who was the wrestler or what got you into the professional wrestling game?
Well, I just loved everything about it. You know, as cliche and corny as that sounds, I'm an entertainer, born and bred, and that's what I'm supposed to do. That's what I'm on this planet to do, and that's what I do best. So, you know, if it wasn't music, it's sure as hell going to be wrestling. And I love, you know, I grew up on late 80s, early 90s wrestling. I love the characters and the colors and the charisma and all of that. And that's what I like to display. And, yeah, I mean, favorite wrestler growing up, Shawn Michaels. I love Rick Rude, Ricky Model Martel, Mr. Perfect. You know, that's my whole recipe right there.
Okay, nice. Nice.
Now, Zicky, to go back to your character, you currently stand out. Nobody, you don't try to imitate anybody. From what I know, you're different than everybody else that I see in the world of wrestling.
Absolutely.
How did you come up with that? And I don't know if saying gimmick is the wrong word, but how did you come up with that character? How did that start?
You know, it's me in a nutshell. You know, it's everything that I love and I hate all wrapped into one. It wasn't until I started giving less shits about what people thought and having more fun that I really was able to take Outlandish Zicky Dice to the next level. And, you know, like I said, we're still evolving and there's still a lot of tricks and treats under my sleeve. I can't you know, blow the surprise here right now. I got to say something. But believe me, the best is yet to come, and we're just getting started.
Yeah, awesome. Did you receive any blowback when you entered the wrestling industry? Because a lot of times guys can, I'm not here to ask a controversial question, but a lot of times people can not be supportive of you in the wrestling business, or they might not want you to get old.
Let's rewind what you just said. Then the last question. You said, Zicky Dice, you stand out like no one I've ever seen before. Did I get blowback? What do you think? Absolutely. You know why? Because they hate me. They hate me because they hate me. You know, I set the bar very high, and I make sure to make myself undeniable and different from everybody else. So I get blowback everywhere I go. And if you don't think I have blowback right now as we speak, you're crazy.
Wow.
And that's fine. I'm gonna continue to keep doing what I do the way I do it, and no one's gonna tell me otherwise. So,
awesome.
No, go ahead, Tess.
No, I'm switching it over to you now.
Okay. Man, another question is, you know, a lot of people don't know. Are you familiar with the indie scene? Like, you know what I'm saying, the deathmatch scene. I am. You are. What do you think about the deathmatch? What do you think about deathmatch wrestling? What do you think about the indie wrestling thing? You know, Jim Cornette doesn't like deathmatch wrestling.
You know,
but
I actually had a deathmatch right before I debuted on NWA. I had one deathmatch against Marcus Crane, a good friend of mine. And I said that if I ever did one, it would be with Marcus Crane. Deathmatch wrestling is not for me. I respect my friends and those that do it, but it's not for me. Sure, I'll watch a deathmatch here or there. It's not my cup of tea. I respect it. As for the indie scene, that's where, you know, I still wrestle in the indie scene proudly, and that's where I was able to learn and grow and master the craft. So I'm all about the indies. You know, I spent ever since I wrapped up at Black and Brave trying to wrestle anywhere and everywhere I could around this country. I wrestled in South Korea, all as an indie wrestler and all, you know, by myself. So I love and respect indie wrestling very, very much.
Nice. Yeah. I actually, talking about Marcus Crane, I actually had him on my show on the other day on Thursday. I actually had Marcus Stanton on my show on Thursday. So yeah,
beautiful.
It was actually
that's one of my brothers right there. I actually before his surgery, I was his last match before his surgery. Fun fact.
Oh wow, yeah. Actually, you know what? He was actually talking about that. You know, on my show the other day, he was actually talking about his last match. So yeah, so that kind of crossed paths over. But yeah, Marcus Crane's a good guy, and I had him on. But yeah, and the indie wrestling is one of my favorite things, and I can't believe I didn't hear about you before, but I'll make sure to look you up on the indies, and I'll make sure to look up that match of you and Marcus Crane. But another question is, you being the television champion, you know, of NWA, when do we see you go for that 10 pounds of gold? When do you add on the belts? When do you become the belt collector?
You know what? There's people have goals, but Zicky Dice has plans. There's things I'm going to do. One I'm going to do as soon as this is all over is maybe I'll prove to the world the fighting champion I am. Maybe I'll find seven of the best wrestlers from the indie scene, from wherever I can, and defend my television championship against them in one night, and then I've earned myself a shot at what I call the 10 pounds of pink, because as soon as I whoop Nick Aldis's ass up and down Broadway,
okay,
I'm going to get my hand on the 10 pounds of pink. I'm going to dip it in pink paint and pink glitter, and I'm going to and Vicky Dice Mania runs wild.
Nice. That's crazy that you would talk about the indies and saying that, man.
If it wasn't for the Crockett Cup, it could have been Marty Scurll I would have been taking the title from. Either way, you guarantee, I'm telling you right now, that I will have my hand on the 10 pounds of pink.
Okay. Talking about that, talking about wrestling on the indies, man, I got a perfect promotion for you if you ever want to make your way, man. Is Horror Slam Wrestling over here in Michigan. And if you're going to dip that championship in pink, I got the perfect opponent for you. He's the flamboyant Peter B. Beautiful. I don't know if you ever heard of him, but if you want to look him up on my YouTube channel, Deathmatch Wrestling Podcast 313, look up Peter B.
You know
B.
what?
I got a
story about Peter B. Beautiful now that we're here. I do know who he is. One time, he tried to book Zicky Dice. This is a true story. Round trip, he wanted me to drive 16 hours, 8 hours there, 8 hours back, and he was going to pay me $8 is what he told me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, that's some Peter B. Beautiful gold right there. He can eat my ass.
That's funny, man. Oh, wow. I'll ask him about that. I can ask him about that after this interview.
Definitely do that.
Oh, God.
Indie wrestling, gotta love it.
You got to. Go ahead, Tess.
Now, just to go back to NWA, you guys wrestle in front of a live studio crowd. What is that? What is it like wrestling in front of that crowd in that studio versus actually wrestling in the
Good question. Wrestling? Like I said, I was grateful enough to come through Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, and Championship Wrestling from Hollywood is studio wrestling. So I actually had prior experience, which helped out a lot when showing up to NWA. The only difference is, at least at Hollywood, you get the music on the way out. NWA, you only get your music at pay-per-view. So that was a little bit of an adjustment. I do love Zicky Dice has the hottest entrance song of all time. It does get me high, feeling a little bit outlandish. But it's all right. We found ways to win the title without music.
Absolutely. What is it about? Because for me, I feel like you guys were neck and neck with WWE as far as entertainment value with your show NWA Power before it went away for a little bit because of the virus. I take it. But what is it about NWA Power that's so different from other mainstream promotions?
Well, just the way things are run, you know, it's a completely different product. You don't see studio wrestling anymore, and it's nice to, you know, throw back, and I think there's a huge market for it, and there's still a lot of people that haven't even seen or have been exposed to NWA, so we're still growing by the week. Now, I do say that there is something for everybody at NWA, so if you haven't yet, you should head to youtube.com/NWA and hit subscribe. That goes a long way, but I truly feel like there's something there for everybody. Give it a shot. It's different than everything that's out right now, and I feel that, you know, it's something that can go pretty go a long way. It'll be interesting to see what the future holds.
Awesome. I promise not to keep you long, but could you talk a little bit more, and I don't know if Southwest had another question for you, but could you talk a little more about your band Outlandish? What can we expect from you guys in the future as far as your band?
My band Heart to Heart released a new record called Heartbreaker on In Vogue Records this past Valentine's Day that you can stream now. We've been around since 2009. We're working on a new record as we speak. But, yes, we've got music videos on YouTube and all that. There's plenty of Heart to Heart fun. So search Heart to Heart, Zicky Dice, and on the internet and have a blast. And go have fun.
Awesome. Southwest, do you have any more questions for Mr. Dyson?
I mean, I only had one more. I mean, you said you're a free agent, right? You can go anywhere. You can go anywhere. One of my favorite places to talk about is MLW also. You go to MLW, go anywhere. Who would be your dream opponent in any of these promotions right now?
Well, I got two answers for you, all right? My dream opponent is Seth Rollins. It always will be, and that match may happen one day. But where will I end up? You never know. I've been waiting for Cody Rhodes to call me back, but seems like his line's busy. But we'll see what the future holds.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. Man, one person I can see you going against is MLW champion is Jacob Fatu.
Oh, Fatu. I love me some Fatu.
Yeah.
Shout out to Oos.
Uso, yeah. Them dudes, man. I love Jacob
Fatu.
Unfortunately,
it wouldn't be the first time I whooped. You know, it'd be a tough battle, but it wouldn't be the first time I had to whoop a homie's ass.
Oh, okay. Nice. Definitely. But that's the one person I did think about. Or Lance. Lance is a good one, too. Lance is a good one I could see you going again.
Hey, look at this right here. I'm going to make it plain and simple. Zicky Dice is going to be anywhere and everywhere. I'm ready to defend championships and win championships. So hit me up.
Oh, man, I'm gonna have to.
And I gotta do a shameless plug before we go. If you want to follow this outlandish journey I call life, I've made it nice and simple for the world. At Zicky Dice, you can pick up your official outlandish merch in dice at zickydice.com or prowrestlingtees.com/zickydice. And fellas, you gotta back me up when I say this. Now is the time because you want to say, hey, I started following outlandish Zicky Dice when. And now, because I'm gonna tell you. Look at the past television champions, and look at what they've gone on to do. And do you think I'm gonna? What do you think's gonna happen next, huh? I'm taking over the goddamn world.
Because I mean, before you go, you kind of like they say the title makes the man, but you're kind of making that title. Like you kind of bringing eyes.
You damn right.
To that title.
Yeah.
You damn right. I might have you say that again in case people didn't hear that. Say it again.
Hey, you're bringing eyes to that title because otherwise it may be irrelevant, to be quite honest.
Damn right.
Outlandish. Damn right.
Hey,
I agree with that.
Hey, Zicky, just want to say thank you for coming on. I mean, we understand that 1,000 people are probably trying to hit you up to be on their show, and you were kind enough to join us, people that you don't know. Because you never know what you're going to walk into when you walk into an interview. So I appreciate you trusting.
Hey,
thank
you guys for having me. I walked into a great time. So you guys stay safe. Take care of one another. Check up on your friends and loved ones. And we'll see you soon.
All right, man.
Thank
God
you.
Bless
hey,
you. Man,
oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, no ahead, Southwest. I was just telling them God bless you. That's it.
Oh, okay. I was going to say the same thing. God bless. And hopefully one day I could bring you down to Michigan to get a match with Peter B. Beautiful. Hopefully I can make that happen, but with a different promotion.
You got it. You guys keep in touch.
For sure.
All right, man. Take care.
All right, outlandish.
Ah.
Exactly. All right, everybody. That was Zicky Dice. I mean, you can ask for a better interview or a better person interview. The guy has so much energy. He was so down to earth. You know, that kind of took me aback, that the fact that he was down to earth. So it was a cool interview for myself. You asked some great questions, man.
Well, I appreciate it, man. You did too, man. Like I said, you're not you. Hey, you the man. You're natural, man. That's all I can say about that.
Oh man, you far too kind to me, man. You far too kind.
No, kindness and fact are two different things. It's two different things with that, man. I'm speaking facts, brother.
Absolutely appreciate you. And then Tuesday night, we gotta have Eddie Kingston on Wrestle Talk in the D. He said he can come on Tuesday, so I'll be having him on this platform. And anybody else, welcome to come call in and ask some questions. You're welcome to call in if you want to talk to Eddie Kingston
awesome.
With me.
Nice, definitely.
But man, you really, they gonna owe you some money, man, because Deathmatch Wrestling, you putting it on the map, man. You know, and seriously, man, like you are like it's not a show that you don't do without talking about it.
Hey, you know, Deathmatch Wrestling. One thing, and I stretch it enough, and I thank you for saying that, but. One thing I could say about Deathmatch Wrestling is it's one thing is different that, like I say a lot, is a lot of the mainstream people don't know and that they think they know about because they know about WWF wrestling and ECW wrestling. That's their roots, yes. But
yeah.
Deathmatch Wrestling actually took place back in the late 80s when Mick Foley got his ear taken off in an explosion match.
Wow. In Southwest, remember, in Deathmatch and ECW, they kind of in the same family, but they're not the same, really, I guess. But I remember when WCW was around, WWE was around, but ECW was that third promotion, that third top promotion. And I feel like Deathmatch Wrestling, if they come up with a big promotion, they have an opportunity to go head-to-head with WWE. And AEW, because there's not a huge, in my opinion, from what I know, there's not a huge deathmatch mainstream promotion right now. So that'll be a smart thing for somebody to make it mainstream.
That would be smart on somebody's move. Like, I think, you know, that's what Horsemen is trying to do right now. You know, but, you know, when you have limited, you know, resources, you can only do so much. That's why, you know, like we before this pandemic happened, they were supposed to be on pay-per-view. And I believe, you know, that it's only a matter of time before they do it or GCW does it, which is Game Changing Wrestling down in New York, New Jersey, H2O Wrestling. You know, there's a lot of deathmatch promotions, just that. There's, you know, the people that are mainstream TV probably don't want to give it a taste per se. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to give it a try. You know what I mean? And they're gonna probably like, oh well, that's not gonna bring viewers. But if they give it a chance, I'm pretty sure it could happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, only time will tell. We probably won't be going to 8 o'clock tonight because that interview kind of ended short. You know, but it's all good. It was a good interview, like we said. But before we close out tonight, you know, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about one particular wrestler before we close out. I mean, Tamina. I want to talk about Tamina. She's in this championship match versus Bayley, and I hope to God, like, this is Tamina's time to win this championship. I could see them giving her the belt, you know, and taking it off Bayley, and I hope they do that. Because it's one of them instances where it's long overdue, you know. Like, Tamina, she didn't pay her dues, and I hope to God they give her the strap, you know, at Money in the Bank. So I wanted to say something about that before we close up.
I actually agree with you on that, but this pay-per-view I think is too quick because if you look at it, before WrestleMania, you know, she has some sort of ring rust, and it's not really her fault because injuries happen, and injuries toned her to do a setback, and it all happened, you know, when she was trying to make a return is when this pandemic happened, And, you know, you don't have no crowd to go against that. You don't have no crowd to give you that, like, okay, you're okay or you're not doing the right job. So it all kind of happened and mushed up all together. And she got some – I look at it and I see some ring rust on her. But, I mean, if they give her the strap, that's great because, I mean, I agree with you. Tamina does she does need the strap. She paid her dues. She's been in WWE for over a decade, and I believe it's time.
Yeah, hey. Only time will tell. Southwest, I want to thank you for tagging along tonight. It's not easy to do these shows, but you make it seem you do it so perfectly, if you will. So I want to thank you for coming on and doing your show with me tonight. And
I appreciate you, Seth, and man, you're the man. And like I said, it's all facts, and I appreciate you and appreciate everything you do for this platform.
Absolutely. All right, for myself, Southwest Texan. Everybody have a blessed day. This was Wrestle Talking to D with Martez. And a shout out to everybody that's listening on YouTube, not me, on Facebook and Instagram. We appreciate you. And you're going to see greater things to come. Take care and God bless. Have a good night, Southwest.
You too, Tess.
Have a good night.
Pee Wee Herman here. Come listen to Martez and the D on Wrestle Talk Radio.
This is a Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.